Okay, thanks for coming to our friend tryouts. We just have a few questions to see if you'd be a good match for us. If you could date one of our mothers, which would you date?
Have you ever been to prison?
You know that one thing you did that one time with that one person? Why did you do that?
You got any yo mama jokes?
Do you think Jesus was good at bowling?
I don't suppose you could teach us how to Dougie, per se, but could you teach us how to knit?
Where do babies come from? Be specific.
Sing your favorite Air Supply song.
Do you believe in corporal punishment? And what's your favorite way to see someone die?
How much time do you spend skipping when no one is looking?
So from like one to needy, where do you fall?
Did you lie about liking Celine Dion music back in 1995?
Do you hear voices in your head?
If I were paralyzed from the neck down, would you spoon feed me pudding? I don't think so, no.
All right, here's what I want everybody to do. We're going to do an exercise to begin with while we're getting ready. I want everybody to slide in. I want everybody to get together today because we're talking about friendships. Today was optional deodorant day. I just want to let you know, so you're going to love your neighbor. Everybody slide in. Let's get together. Let's get close. Let's get family. Yeah, I see folks moving here. I love it. All right. So today, we're going to be talking about something, I think. The Word of God, for sure. But now that you got close to your neighbor, high five two people around you. Say, friend. See, you all got together. That was more than two. I love it. See, that's why we all got together. Somebody just went crowd surfing. That's even better. All right. Hey, as you're getting your ready in your Bible, we're going to be in Luke 10 today. Luke 10. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, if you got your Bible, Luke 10, and then we're going to set this thing up, and it's going to be fun today. I'm not going to lie to you. Today we're going to talk about something that I feel like we've forgotten in this world, myself included. We're going to be talking about this thing called the foundation of friendship. Foundation of friendship. Foundation of friendship. So if you're taking notes, or if you're going to text it to me later because I gave you my number earlier at the welcome, if you're going to text me to where I might have messed up, make sure that you write down the foundation of friendship. So how many people have a piece of paper or are taking notes? Raise your hand. I see a few people. I love it. If you need a piece of paper, you're going to need it for this next thing that I have. No, we're not going to be moving around. That was fun that day we did that, though, wasn't it? You're going to need a piece of paper. So if you have a piece of paper or you're taking notes, grab your phone. Grab a piece of paper, because we're going to do a little exercise, and I just want to ask you a question, and it's going to be real fun as we're talking about the foundation of friendship. So, there are some papers coming around as ushers get ready, and the throngs of people come flying through. I'm just kidding. Thank you. Olivia got you squared away. If you're on the EFAM right now, you're joining us online, get your piece of paper too. Go ahead and get your water. It's going to be a good time, I promise you. Maybe you're watching in the middle of the week or you're at the coffee shop right now and they haven't given you your coffee yet. So there's a purpose in that. God's just preparing your heart for that. So here we go. You got a piece of paper. You may have a pen. You got a piece of paper. But I want you to think about something. I want you to write down the five closest friends you have in your life outside of your family. Don't get your Facebook phone out and look at your Facebook. Just the first five people that come to mind, because I've got an exercise here. I'm not going to lie to you, it was hard for me too. So think of the first five people, your five closest friends outside of your family. And I'm talking about these are the friends, these are your ride or dies, if you know what I'm saying. Like, these are your friends who, you know, if you do something stupid in the middle of the night, you're going to call them, that are outside of your family. Because your family, you should be able to call, but sometimes it might be your family that's calling you who did something stupid too. So you may all be in it together. If you know me, it's probably true because I'm the crazy one. So that being said, maybe that's what it is. But five closest friends. Everybody got five? Thinking of five? If I had Jeopardy music, I would do it. Da 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 da. Okay, we're going to stop there. So as everybody tuned out and said he's not leading worship, right? So as you're getting those five names, I just want to share some statistics with you. Write down those five names. Did you know the majority of Americans, so in this land of 300 plus million people, the majority can only write down two names? So if you, If you know that, how crazy is that? The majority of Americans. Now, I said outside of family, so your spouse is your family. So if you wrote them down five times, that's cheating. Don't do that. Don't do that. And if you wrote their name down like five times because every different day of the week it's a different name, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Like, I love this Monday, my spouse on Monday, but Tuesday, I don't know. Wednesday, we'll see. Thursday, I'm all about it. Like, if you wrote that down, don't do that. So the majority of Americans can only write two. 25% of Americans can't write one. 25% of Americans can't write one. How crazy is that? 25% can't write one. But we're so connected, right? Like, we've got social media, we've got friends and thumbs and likes and all this crazy thing. We're so connected, right? Like, we've got, man, I got 3,000 Facebook. I got a million followers on Twitter. I really don't think I'm that cool. I've got a million followers on Twitter, and I don't have the money to pay for that many. I'm just going to be real for you. Like, I've got so many people, and I've got so many friends. But, yeah, when we really examine our life and look at it, we really don't. And I'm not telling you this to beat you up. I'm not telling you to get real sad and get down. I've been examining my life too, and it made me think, when I was young, man, I had so many friends. It was really easy to write five, right? Like, when you're a kid, it's really easy to write five friends, right? Like, you can think of five like that. But as I've got older, what happened? What changed? And what's changed from generation to generation? What's going on? And so over these next few weeks, that's what I want to talk to us about in this series called Friending, is we got to talk about the foundation of friendship. We got to start there, right? Like, we got to start at the foundation. We got to figure out what is going on. Because here's the thing. There are people in my life I know I can call. Believe it or not, everyone in this room I consider family, so I wouldn't write you in. That's terrible, but I didn't want to cheat on that exercise because you're family. But outside of that, what does that look like? Like, what does that look like? And what kind of world do we live in that's the case? Like, is that fun? Like, I know Valentine's Day is coming up, and you probably expected me to preach on marriage today. I'm not, because your boy's not married. So I'm not going to preach to you about something I don't know anything about. I know about pursuing Jesus, and that's what I'm going to do, stay in my lane there. But maybe you're in the same boat, and you're thinking about Valentine's Day. And you're like, man, I don't have any friends. I don't have anything going on. This is crazy. And what kind of state is that? It's not a fun one, right? And I would go and move and say, as we started with John earlier today, and we were reading from John 13, and we were saying, hey, like, Jesus said this is how people will know you and how you love them. Not like, not thumbs up, not retweet, not share, even though I do share a lot of things this stream, even though we share things. Not how we do that, or comment, or emoji, how you love. So as we talk about this foundation of friendship today, that's what we're going to be diving into. So everybody take a deep breath. High five somebody around and say, I put you on my list. Just make them feel gloved and that you really did put them on your list of five. Just make them feel like you did. Make them feel like you did. Even if you didn't, it's okay. We won't tell them. Just write their name in real quick. It'll make you feel good. That'll get you your five. You won't tell nobody. You won't be in the 25% that couldn't write one. You'll be good. You'll be good. So today, I want us to talk about that. So we're going to be in Luke 10, if you're in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10. And we're going to talk about a story we're all familiar with. We're all familiar with. But I think we should walk through it as we talk about the foundation of friendship and what friendship really, really looks like. So Luke 10, we're going to be starting today in verse 25. So if you've got your Bible, I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. If you don't, I would highly encourage you. Maybe you've got the Bible app on your phone. You can watch here on the screens. If you're watching online, it should be there with you. But Luke chapter 10, verse 25 will be up. I just highly encourage you to take notes. Not because of me, what Jesus is going to tell you. Because he's going to tell you something I'm not, which is so much better. Praise his name that he does. Because sometimes you listen to me and you're like, oh, Lord Jesus. So, and I'll say, yeah, Lord Jesus, go reach him, see what he's saying to you. So just take notes and see what Jesus says to you. We're going to start in verse 25. And it says this: on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. To test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And isn't that a question we all like to ask? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, being who Jesus is, answers a question with a question. Jesus is like an OG, man. Like, he knows what to do. He does it right. He answers a question with a question. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, being the master teacher, says to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, as we're building up to this story and we're looking at this, it makes me think about a lot of us could be in that same place that the lawyer was. See, in Jewish culture, it was normal for men that were friends who wrote those five names down, they were friends, to debate spiritual issues. They would stand up and talk about the law and go back and forth and have a friendly banter, where now that's a game show and it's a TV show and you watch it in the afternoon or you watch it late at night. It's a trivia contest. Like, these men who got together in Jewish culture at the time would have written Jesus down on their list of five friends. They would have said, "Jesus is my friend." So Jesus is my friend. He's my teacher. He's my friend. And so they were debating this spiritual issue, like, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And a lot of us will ask that question. At some point in our life, we will ask that question if we haven't asked it already and had it answered. And so Jesus comes to him and he tells him, hey, it's really simple. It's really simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor. And so this man replies back. He knows the law. He's an expert in the law. He's a lawyer. Like, if there's anybody I would want to ask about a law, it's probably going to be a lawyer, because it's what they do. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. Same thing here. Like, he knows the law. So Jesus is just asking him an answer he already knows. Like, he can go back and look in Deuteronomy where it says this, that you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He can go back and look in the Old Testament. He can look in Levitical law where it says, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. But in his brain, he's also thinking, realistically, most of the time he gets a bad rap because everybody's like, what a jerk. He's trying to justify himself. He's trying to figure out. Like, realistically, he's questioning Jesus in this. Not as a, I'm going to put you down and shame you, Jesus. It's, who is my neighbor? Because at the time, these Jewish men would sit together and they would discuss and debate the law, but they had this thing that said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. But also, when they got out of Egypt, they went into the promised land, and Jesus said, don't let any of these strangers enter into your household, any of these foreigners in the land. Don't let people that you hate be among you, because if you have hate in your heart, it's the same as murder. Don't let these people that you despise, these enemies that will draw you into sin, be a part of your life. And so I've always looked at this thing thinking, that lawyer was a jerk. What a stinking jerk to ask that. But I really think he's asking the question, well, Jesus, like, who is my neighbor? The justify part we'll talk about in a minute, but he's asking, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, it's almost like saying, well, Jesus, who is my friend? Hey, Jesus, who is it? Because I've got to love the Lord your God, love the Lord my God, I've got that down, which don't we all think we do, but we really don't. Like, he's already checked that box off when he's asking, who is my neighbor? Like, he's like, do you not know who I am? I'm a lawyer. I've got that down. Like, I'm an expert in the law. I've got to love the Lord your God. It's loving my neighbor I'm struggling with. So who is my neighbor? And so as we're talking about this foundation of friendship, what I want us to be and what I want us to see is this. The first thing that we have to have in our friendships is we have to be absent preconception. Big word. Wow. Absent preconception. So the one fault I would say with the lawyer is this. He had a preconception of who his neighbor was. His mind was conceiving in his mind who his neighbor was. Because at the time, like, I know Jesus knows what's rattling around in this guy's head. Like, this is why he's about to tell him the parable of the Good Samaritan that we know. Like, he knows what's rattling around in this guy's head. He knows the law that he's throwing around in his head. He knows that this guy's thinking he's got love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul down pat. He's just struggling with loving your neighbor. And I'll be real with you. How hard is it sometimes to love our neighbor? How many of us know our neighbors? How many of us would know that that's a friend? I know I struggle with that. We all do. Let's be real. In this world, most of us don't. And so he's saying, who is my neighbor? Well, the crazy part is, once again, this guy, his neighbor is his tribe. These Jewish men lived in tribes in these cities. And so he should know his neighbor, because his neighbor is his family. It's his cousin. It's his brother. It's people he should know. And yet he's saying, who is my neighbor then? Because I love these people, but I still don't have the fulfillment of eternal life. I still don't have the joy. I still don't know what it is to have eternal life. I don't know what it is to have peace. I don't know what's going on, but Jesus, something's missing, and you're telling me all I have to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and then love your neighbor. So the thing is, if we have a friendship and we have a preconception, sometimes we can get stuck. And so it made me think of where we are now. You know, in this filtered thumbs up, swipe right, swipe left, like, share world that we live in. Because we do. It is who we are. We do, right? We live in that. And if you don't, then you do in some way or shape or form. You've got like the old lady with the pictures on the wall, the cat sharing it to her wall. It's not how any of this goes. Anyway, if that's you, you've got it somewhere in your life. In this world that's so filtered, it's really, really hard for us not to have a preconception. You know, I think of it like buying a house sometimes, all right? So if you don't know, I get to be a realtor too in my life in this world, and it's awesome. It's how I get to build tents to do ministry. However, I think of the pictures of a home. Set the tone, right? Like the pictures look so awesome, like, right? Like they're so beautiful. If you get them done right, like they're professional, they look so beautiful. And then you go in the home and you see it, and it's not that it looks bad, it's just you have a preconception of what it would look like, and you're just like, okay, I can see myself living here, but like I thought that wall was white, and it's a little brown. Not in a bad way, it's just off-white instead of white. Like, right? Like you have a preconception of what it looks like, and if we're not careful, we do the same thing with our friends. Because let me ask you this. How many of you take a picture at the dinner table and everybody's smiling, right? Like if you got kids, everybody's smiling. Everybody's got it together. They didn't see you saying, if you don't smile, I'm going to kill you. Like they didn't see you doing that, right? Like I'm going to take that away from you. Like, like you're going crazy. They didn't see that. Because if you put that on Instagram, they're going to think you're a bad parent, right? Like they're going to think something's wrong with you. Like when you go, I had a friend say something like this week and it was awesome. And I saw that and I meant to send it in so we could have the slide because I thought it was crazy awesome. And she said, hey, like people are posting on Instagram, made cupcakes with my kid. I love them so much. Me in real life. Jesus Christ, you're getting eggshells in the batter. Let me do it. Like, isn't that just how it goes sometimes? Like we got this preconception, but if we look at the picture from it, she's just like, oh, they're making cupcakes. That's just sweet. That's so good. If we're not careful, our preconception can be the outside appearance of our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, our friends, our neighbors. We can look at the outside of what they have and this barn they've painted and miss what's inside. And the hard part is, when we have that preconception, we roll with it. And whether we want to admit it or not, we like being around people who are like us. We like being around people who don't like the things we don't like, and like the things we like. But here's the thing. Jesus never did that. In his friendships, he always ran around people who weren't like him, who he wasn't supposed to be around. Does it mean I'm perfect at that? Heck no, I don't have it together. I'm not perfect at it. But I will tell you, if I'm trying to make friends, I have to be absent preconception. I have to be absent of my preconceptions to think, oh, they're going to be a good friend. And then you meet them and the picture was doctored and photoed and they got like one eye on this cheek or something. Like, it's just crazy. Like, right? Like, it's just all messed up. The photo was doctored and the pretty picture was great. And then you saw them in real life and you just heard them like doing something crazy and screaming, you know, like something stupid. That's our preconception. To be a true friend, we can't have that. We've got to walk in without a preconception. And that's what Jesus is telling this lawyer. Hey, let your guard down. Love the Lord your God. You know God Almighty is the creator of the universe. But here's the other thing you got to do. You got to love your neighbor. And how you love your neighbor is you start by being their friend. You can't have a preconception. You can't think that there's something wrong with them right away. Like, if I'm honest with us, that's what it is. I think sometimes it's not so much what we do and who we are friends with. It's who we aren't. That explains who we are more than anything. It's who we aren't with. Who we aren't trying to invest in, who we aren't inviting, who we aren't saying, hey, this is crazy. Like, who we aren't saying, like, me, man, if they saw a picture of me with them, the things they would say about me. Jesus never did that. And I find myself getting stuck there sometimes. What if they took a picture of me with that person? What would they say? As a pastor, what would they say? Oh, the rumors that would fly. For me, I'm like, no such thing as bad press. Let's roll with it. But like, Jesus was like, hey, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to be with those people. I'm not afraid to be with the people that are the outcast. I'm not afraid to be with the forgotten. I'm not afraid to be with the lost, the lonely, and the least. I will go after them with all of my might. And this whole series has been challenging me already, just preparing for it, to say, hey, who am I going after? When people look at me, who would they say my friends are? Because, you know, Facebook's got that new algorithm where only 25 friends show up all the time, and they change this and they try to distort your view. And I want to tell you, the world does the same thing to you. Sin will do the same thing to you. It will try to distort your view to only be around these people when God's called you to go be with more. And so as we have the foundations of friendship, we can't have that preconception. Some of the things I wanted to share with you here that I love is really something I wrote down here. Two more things as we get rolling and rocking, instead of rocking and rolling, is this. I look back at my life, and man, I can't say that I'm not a perfect person. I don't have it together. But I can look back over friendships, and I can say when I honestly took a chance on someone, and they took a chance on me, we both ended up winning. Now, we may not be together anymore. We may not be friends. We may not have it together, but because we took a chance on each other, absent preconception, we both won. Anytime I've looked when I've had preconceptions and I've got it wrong and I'm like, I can't be friends with that person, we've both lost. Because we missed out on the opportunity to do something amazing together that God's called us to. So here's what I would ask you. When it comes to your friends, if you couldn't write names down, how many friends are you missing out on because you have a preconception that they're a bad person, that their past is more important than their present or their future, that the way they dress doesn't meet yours, the car they drive doesn't meet yours, the house they live in isn't exactly the right one, the neighborhood they live in isn't the right one, the things they post on social media isn't quite what you would agree with. How many times have we taken a chance to be friends with that person? I can tell you I've missed that opportunity more than I'm willing to admit, more than the fingers and toes I have up here on stage right now. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to have a foundation of friendship. I want to see people who are hopeless brought to the hope of Jesus Christ. And the only way I can do that is by being a friend. So our friendships and our foundations of friendship have to start absent preconception. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Jesus is about to drop it in there. And so if you're like the lawyer and you're like me, sometimes you say, so Jesus, who is my, have you seen my neighbor? They park in my yard. My neighbors say it every week, sorry. They park in my yard on Thursday nights. They drive a U-Haul every Saturday night. I don't know when this guy's going to move. I don't get it. Like, he's always got a U-Haul in the front yard. Like, he moves every week. We're loading up the church. And then he loads it right back in on Sunday. I don't know what in the world he's doing, what's in his garage, but it must be important. But the thing is, my neighbors don't know me. I don't know my neighbors well. I'm not being as good a friend with them as I possibly could be. And so what I would say is, maybe that's where Jesus has you. Maybe you can only write three names down, and there are two more slots that Jesus is calling you today. Look around you. If you don't have those five people there, come join us there. Look around you. If you still have slots available, come hang out with us on Thursday night. There is no preconception on Thursday night. We just come together. Just come together. Eat good food. Have more desserts than you can shake a stick at. So I will tell you right now, if you got diabetes, you ain't going to like it. But it'll be something, you'll still have fun with us. Like, it's a fun time together. So I would say in our friendships, let's make sure that we're absent preconception. One last thing I do want to lead us in as we keep going, and we think about this and we think about our friends. We remember this growing up. Jesus loves the little children, right? All the children of the world. What's the next one? Red and yellow, black and white. Is there a preconception there? They're all precious in his sight. And to love our neighbor, doesn't matter if they're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter if they're Islamic. It doesn't matter if they're Buddhist. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they believe. It's just we're called to love them. Because if we love them like Jesus loved us, they can't help but see him. And the thing about our friendships is if we've got the preconception, oh, they're Islamic, so that means I can't be their friend. God, you're missing out. I'm missing out. Because the connections that one person has to their family could be far much greater by you just saying hello, by me just saying hello, by me just saying, hey, can I get you something to drink? By me saying, hey, man, I know I look really different. I'm this freckled kid, and you're just like, who is this guy walking in, and I don't look like you, but I want to learn about you. Tell me about you. The relationships that can be formed there, holy cannoli, what we can do. And yet, our preconception sometimes isn't that Jesus loves the little children. That's where this lawyer was. God only loved the Jewish people. Eventually, the Messiah would come. Crazy thing is, God in the flesh is standing right in front of him, and he can't see it. But he's already checked off that box. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He's right in front of you. That's where we can get stuck. What if Jesus is putting somebody right in front of us that we get to be him to, and we just say no? Hey, no, Jesus, I'll get back tomorrow. It's raining today. I can't bother them today. It's raining just a little bit. And we start making excuses, and we start telling ourselves and justifying. That's the word that the lawyer struggled with here. Justifying why we can't love our neighbor. That's because we got preconception. So, moving on, as I'm continuing in this story, as all of us are going to be friends by the end of this, I already know, and if we're not, then we're going to find a way to be friends after we get through this story, because we're not going to have a preconception about each other. Let's keep rolling. Luke 10, picking up in verse 30, going to verse 400. Thank you. Somebody's got my back. All right, verse 30, we're going to go to verse 33, okay? It continues on the story. Jesus has got it together. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So let me tell you about this. Jerusalem and Jericho is literally like I-85. Like everybody sitting in the room will know what's happening. I-26 or 75 or 95 if you're going down to the lower part of the state or 485 if you're stuck in Charlotte. God bless your heart. But whatever it is, like it's one of those things. Like it's a familiar highway. But here's the thing about Jericho to Jerusalem. It was a highway that people would only go down at certain times of day. It's one everybody knew, but it's the neighborhood that the street lights don't work in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the neighborhood you don't go to at a certain time. But it's a main road. It's an artery in and out of the city. So it's a well-traveled route, but you would only go there during the day. So that's why Jesus is talking about this. He said, a man was going to from Jerusalem to Jericho. So remember that. Busy city, busy road, but seedy road. So that's why you probably call that the shortcut. Otherwise, it would be the way. So just remember, the shortcut. So everybody knows about this, and it's the one you take the risk on, especially if you're running late, you're trying to meet somebody. You're like, I know they got speed bumps, but my brakes don't work, so I'm just going to go, and we're going to make it happen. Like, this is the road you would take, right? Like, this is the road you would take. They would all know this road. So all these Jewish men, they're sitting there. They know this road. And Jesus said he was attacked by robbers. And they're just like, duh. Like, when did he go? Like, that's what I meant. They missed out leaving that in the story. I can't wait to ask that to Jesus and him just reveal. Like, okay, when did he go? And they were like, he was attacked by robbers. And they were probably just like, okay, yeah, all right. So was he like 2-3 in the morning? Like, he should have known better. Like, that's their preconception. They're thinking these things are rolling in their head already. So Jerusalem to Jericho, they were going to keep going in there. So he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, Lord Jesus, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. I'm going to be real with you. If I'm getting stripped down, I want to be beaten. I don't want anybody to see me running down the street, because it definitely wouldn't be a well-traveled road after that. That would be a landmark set up. So I just want to tell you, if that's the case, just know if you're my friend, sometimes you just leave me there. It is what it is. So just ruin the story there. But anyway, verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So let me tell you about a priest. So here's the crazy thing. All priests are Levites. So if you're in the Old Testament, remember this wonderful book called Leviticus. If you've ever read it, bless your heart. It's a good book. It really is a good book. There's some cool things that happen. But Levitical law, so the sons of Aaron were called the Levites. So Aaron is this guy who came with Moses when the Israelites came out of bondage from Egypt. You know, they crossed the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. They go into the Promised Land. There was this guy called Aaron that was with Moses. It was Moses' mouthpiece, right? Like, he was the guy that Moses said, hey, I can't do this by myself. I need somebody who can talk well. So Aaron comes along, and his sons are called Levites, okay? So all this tribe, there's 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Aaron, are the Levites. So all priests are Levites. Just remember that. All priests are Levites. So they come from the tribe of Levi. So that's important. That's why Jesus is telling this story. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So beat up half-naked guys over there, and he's just like, I didn't see nothing. Just rolls on about his way. All right? So a priest. So then this other guy comes into the story. Verse 32, so too a Levite. So remember what I told you. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. That is a tongue twister. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. So what happens with the tribe of Levi in Jewish culture is these guys served the priest. They served in the church. They got there early. They opened the doors. They loaded the trucks. They helped take up the offering. They served the priest. And their inheritance was that. They didn't get to take land. They were given cities in the promised land. They were built to go in and serve and be part of the tabernacle that eventually became the temple. Like, that's where they were, okay? So not all Levites are priests, but all priests are Levites. So these two guys, like the Levites are the upper echelon. Like, they're the red carpet people too. Like, these are the guys that are the most honored. Like, you're going to know a Levite, all right? Like, you're going to know one. So a priest and a rich man, a well-known man, passed by. So it continues on to say what this Levite does. When he came to the place and saw him, he also passed by on the other side. He also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. So this is where you could hear the pin drop in the room. Because this whole story, you heard a Jewish man who's a priest, a Jewish man who's a Levite. Certainly Jesus is going to talk about a normal Jewish guy that's walking down this road. Because the Jewish people don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans hate the Jews. And guess what? The Jews hate the Samaritans. They're the enemy. They're not the people that are supposed to be your neighbor. They're the ones that when we go into the land, we're not supposed to be friends with, like God told us. If we take part of them, then it's going to destroy our blessing and we're going to lose everything we have. Like, we're not supposed to do this. And all of a sudden, the room you just heard, and like Jesus walks out. Like, he was done. Like, he said a Samaritan. Everybody's like, hang on, did he say a Samaritan? Did he say a Samaritan? Oh, ooh. The whole reason we take that road from Jerusalem to Jericho is so we don't have to deal with Samaritans. And so Jesus drops a bomb. So this race that everybody hates, these people that everyone in the room would already have this well up of pride in their heart, like, at least we're not them, is the one who comes by. He takes pity on this man. Takes pity on this man. Now, the thing is, we don't know the race of the man who's half naked and dead. He could have been Jewish. He could have been Samaritan. It doesn't say what he is. The assumption this whole time was that all these guys were Jewish until this Samaritan walks in the room. And I love, if you're looking all through Jesus' ministry, he talks to the people. We have the Samaritan woman at the well. Like, he goes to people who don't look like him, don't talk like him. Quite frankly, are people he shouldn't be hanging around with. And he always found a way to do that. So the second thing we have to have in our friendship, so absent preconception, because the preconception led up to where this Jewish lawyer was talking, and now all of a sudden, the preconception, Jesus knows what's rattling in their brain, and he just dropped the mic on them. He's just like, hey, that race you don't like, red, yellow, black, or white, that's the one who came to help you. That's the one who came to your aid. The one that you said you would never help in the middle of the street, that's the one who saw you half naked and dead in the street and picked you up. The one that you had a preconceived notion of because of their religion, the one who believes Islam but doesn't believe Christianity, that's the one who stopped when your car needed to be towed. That's the one who gave you a jump off. But instead, you're not a friend with them because you say you don't believe the same thing. That's where Jesus hits me. That's what rocks the heart of me. That's where me, your pastor, can grow too. And I'm willing to bet most of us in the room can because of my preconception. So the second thing we have is we got to be open to diversity. We have to be open to diversity. This from Jesus, like, was one of the most social change messages I think he preached more than anything in front of the men who were Jewish. He's standing there and say, hey, you know who God is. You know who created the universe. Your fathers have experienced the blessings of God. And yet there are people in this world who haven't. And you won't have anything to do with them. And the whole reason I came is so that you will. And so we have to be open to diversity. Now, does that mean that we have to have that placard photo where we've got all different races in the picture and we're all smiling that fake picture? Absolutely not, because you know why? People are messy. I'm messy too. And it doesn't mean every relationship's going to be that way, is going to work out that way, but we have to be open to diversity. And so as you look and examine your friends, this isn't a pot shot. This is me as your pastor saying, I have to grow in this too. They look like you, they talk like you, they dress like you, they believe like you. You've got the room to grow just like I do. We got to be open to diversity. You know, I heard a comedian say this one time, and I'll take the credit for it, but I can't, because I can't remember the comedian's name, so don't judge me. But when we look at open to diversity, like with everything in social change that's happening right now, I just want us to know this. And they said this is really funny, so I'm going to adapt it to church world, because I believe there was a cuss word or two in there, and you know I'm not going to do that up here. Racism is taught. It's not something you're born with. Racism is taught to someone. If I go and Vine Kids right now and I ask them what they hate, naps probably, going home if they're having a good time, that we ran out of goldfish or we ran out of snacks, or that something happened at school, or they're going to hate that they can't be with their friend. Yet when we get older and I ask you what you hate, red, yellow, black, or white, it can be there, right? They don't believe what I believe. They don't look how I look. I don't like them. I don't have anything to do with them. I can be there. I really, really can. We all can be there if we're not careful. Does it mean that we don't need to have people in our life that are like, absolutely. I'm not saying that. Hear what I'm saying, though. We got to be open to people who aren't like us, because that's the people Jesus has called us to reach. It's that simple. Because they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. And if we are not going to be open to diversity, we're no better than the Levite or the priest that saw this man half naked, laying there, beaten half to death on the road, and said, hey, I know you need hope, but I ain't got it for you. And if that's the case for us, we need to talk to Jesus about that and figure out where our relationship is with him. Because we may not be his friend. We may not really love Jesus the way we declare we do, the way our pictures do, the way our little Bible, our Bible verse shares say, the way our posts say. Does it mean we're going to be perfect? Absolutely not, because I ain't got it all together. But I'm going to tell you, I want to grow my friendships this year. And the way that I can do that is not have a preconception and definitely be open to diversity. You see, here's where it can get really, really crazy for us, is when we don't have people who are like us. I will tell you, the reason it's really hard for me personally to get along with people who don't look like me is I don't think our stories are the same. So the first question I'll ask, what are we going to have to talk about? We're just going to stand and stare at each other. Like, what are they going to tell me? Don't we all feel that way? Like, isn't that sometimes where people who aren't like us, why we don't talk to them is we're afraid because we don't know what to talk like. We have a preconception of what they think of us, or we're going to say we don't have anything to talk about. But yet when I sit down at a table and I learn from somebody different than me, I get to hear their perspective. And the crazy thing is, most of the time our stories are really similar, almost identical, if I'm completely honest, which we'll see at the end of this, almost identical. But because I took the time to be open to diversity and created the space for me to have that relationship, I got to be rewarded. So for each and every one of us, I want us to look like in this story, like Jesus is about to answer this question, like, are we the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? And I'm going to unpack that in a minute, how that works. But I just know that for Jesus, he's sitting there. And I've been saying that, and we talked about it last week with worship. Like, the whole reason he came was to bring heaven to earth. So bringing heaven to earth means having an eternal life, right? He made a way for us to have an eternal life. So this lawyer's saying, how do I have it? How do I have eternal life? Jesus is doing something that's really crazy, and what you may not see in the story, and Jesus is about to answer him when he finishes this parable, is he's literally saying to this guy, hey, just be me, and you'll have eternal life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You say you got that together, and love your neighbor. Just be me. And here's the thing. I can't be Jesus. I have to have Jesus be Jesus so that I can have eternal life. And the thing where we can get stuck is that if we go around, it's not that we aren't supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We're not supposed to be taking next steps in Christ and becoming more like him. It's that I can't be him. I can't live the perfect life. I can't be the person that has it all together. I can't fulfill the law. Only he could. And yet that's what he's trying to tell this man. And it made me wonder, I wonder how many checkbox friendships we have just to say that we have this person in our life, but we're not truly invested in them. How many checkbox friendships do we have that we say we're open to diversity, but we're really not? We just have it on. Like, I looked at my Facebook friends, and I've got these people from all these places. Awesome. Do they call you in the middle of the night? When their father passes away, do they reach out to you? When their mother passes away, do they reach out to you? When their friend passes away, do they reach out to you? Not that you have to be that person because you can't carry the weight of that. But the odds are, if you don't have that in your life, you're missing out. I know I am. If I don't have people in my life I can do that with, oh my goodness, it's terrible. Because sometimes I have the 2 a.m. screams. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I know I ain't 2 years old, but I wake up in the middle of the night screaming at the top of my lungs, Jesus, what the heck's going on? And we have that, and I put on some music, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm just kidding. We ain't doing it. But like, yeah, we just start singing, right? Like, we have it going on. Like, we've got all that. I have that. I have that. But sometimes it takes a friend saying, hey, I don't know why, but I'm praying for you today. You have no clue how much that means. You have no clue how much that friend needs to know that, hey, I don't know why, but this morning I'm praying for you. I don't know why, just Jesus wanted me to pray for you. But if we have preconceptions and we're not open to diversity, it's going to be really, really hard for that to happen. It's going to be really, really hard. So back in this thing where I'm talking about bringing heaven to earth and eternal life is I want you to know if we're not open to diversity, we're not living heaven on earth. You know, I shared a couple weeks ago on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, Revelation 7:9, where it says all nations, all tribes, all tongue will come together and say, holy, holy is the Lamb. Like, we'll all be there worshiping the Father. And we can experience that on earth. That's why Jesus came, to have eternal life for us, right? To give us eternal life. But here's where we can mess up. Because for us, we may think eternal life starts with our death on this earth, and it doesn't. Eternal is the here and now. We get to live heaven on earth here and now, which means we have to be open to diversity. We have to be open to what heaven's going to look like. We get to be the body of Christ painting the picture to the world of what heaven's going to look like. He could have done it all himself, but he chose us. And when we sit back and we won't ask people into our lives and we won't be real with people, if we aren't open to diversity because we say, they're not going to understand my story. So if they don't know my story, they can't understand my weakness because they don't look like me. They don't talk like me. They don't walk like me. They don't like my Instagram posts. They don't share my Facebook posts. They don't like me on Snapchat. They don't swipe right or whatever the heck that is, or swipe left, however the heck that works. Whatever it is in my life, they don't do that in my life. So obviously they're not going to have anything to do with me. Man, we're missing out. Because, see, friendships used to be that. Friendships used to be bicycles down the road. Friendships used to be, let's go ride down the slide together. Friendships used to be, think about when you were little, what happened. Everybody was a friend. And you get mad on the baseball field and get mad at your friend. I'm not going to be your friend again. The next day, hey, you want to go play kickball again, man? Like, you want to go do that? Right? How many times do I do that? But now as we get older, it's like, I'm never talking to them again. What happens? As a kid, we don't care about diversity. We sing the song and we live it. It's all about diversity. We don't have a preconception because every day is brand new. And the thing about not having friends is at the end of the day, it's not how we become heaven on earth. Because we're going to have many friends in heaven. It says we have a whole new family in heaven, right? And we get to live that here on this earth. But when we don't have friends because they look like us, talk like us, walk like us, and we refuse to have anybody different than us in our life, we're missing out. We're not living heaven on earth. And so to do all that Jesus has called us to do, as we're getting ready for this Easter season, we got to grow our friends. We got to sow into people and watch Jesus grow our friendships. We got to go ask our neighbors what's going on. Not sing the song and scare them off. I won't do that again. Not sing the song and scare them off. Like, hey, how are you doing? Hey, my name's Tyler. Nice to meet you. You see the U-Haul every week. I'll tell you what I'm doing. Like, we're doing something illegal. If you want to come be a part of it, we meet on Sundays at 10. It's crazy. But you can come hang out with us. We're doing some crazy stuff. You can find out how illegal it is, right? Like, just going to get my neighbors. Or, hey, on Thursday nights, you should see what we do. I mean, we're having a LuLaRoo party or whatever those things are called. What is that called? On Thursday nights every week, we're doing this thing, right? Like, just come hang out with us. See what it is. We got free food. You know, like, I'll get a neon sign next time. Really, I want to be open to diversity to know my neighbors, because when I look at my neighborhood, it's pretty diverse. It's got people from all different places, all different races, all different tongues coming together. And so as I am asking to grow this year, I'm asking you to grow with me. Let's grow our friendships this year. Let's continue on the story. I'm almost done as we're beating each other. I'm hoping that you're hearing that I'm not beating you up. I'm being as honest as I can be, because if I can't open up and share with you where I struggle, then you're not going to see a place maybe where you struggle and where Jesus is calling you to be better. Because here's the thing, my weakness can be your strength, and your weakness can be my strength, and that's the reason Jesus has us together, okay? So we're going to finish up this story. Here we go. I think we are. We might. We only got 400 more verses to go again. So the third thing and final thing is we're getting down to it. Luke 10, verse 34 through 37. This Samaritan, remember, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, two very expensive things in the time. Very expensive things. Remember, we talked about what David was anointed with in the last season itself? Oil. Oil and wine. Two very expensive things of the time. He went and poured that on him. He bound up his wounds with that. You know, he was getting the wine. Wine was an antiseptic at the time. He's taking the wine to get the antiseptic out. He's getting the oil on him so that it numbs the pain, so that he can heal faster. I know we got some oil people here. They know the power of oil. I know that for sure, for sure. And I will tell you, that's what he's doing. Two very expensive things. And how did he have that on his way down the road? Think about that. How when he was home, something told him to bring the wine and oil. And all of a sudden, it had a purpose. That's what God does in your life when there are relationships right in front of you that you don't realize is he's already given you the tools to make that relationship great if you'll just be open and honest with him. So here we go. Continuing on. Poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Before I continue on, think about this. He probably rode one donkey, the Samaritan did, on this road. You wouldn't want to have a caravan on this road because you definitely would get robbed. So he takes the man, was on the road, and he puts him on the donkey. If you haven't yet, go watch the service a few weeks back where we talked about the difference between a donkey and a lamb. Reconnect with that down the line. Remember, the donkey is the unclean, and a lamb had to be sacrificed for it. Love how Jesus throws these little things in here that you can just dig into. But this Samaritan picks the man up, puts him on his donkey. So what does that mean the Samaritan did on that road? He walked. Walked. So this man who's used to riding on his ride, his rims, whatever it is, his ride, his donkey. This is my donkey. My donkey. He's used to riding. Instead, he sacrifices his place and his position to ride on this donkey and puts this man who is beaten nearly to death on it. And he walks him to the inn. Isn't that crazy? Like, think about that. How crazy that is. Continuing on the story. The next day, he brought him to the inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three was a neighbor to this man who fell into the hand of robbers? The expert in the law, because he had it all together, right? He's going to answer the Samaritan man. The Samaritan guy. That's the one in the story. The guy that nobody likes, the Samaritan guy. This is where we can see where pride can well up in us. He couldn't even answer the Samaritan. He said the one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy on him. He couldn't even bring himself to say the Samaritan. Isn't that crazy? I know I can get there sometime. I don't know about you. Jesus called him, go and do likewise. So the last thing that we need to do in our friendships is we have to be absent of preconception, open to diversity, and we have to understand that friendship protects in love. Friendship protects in love. Easier said than done. People are messy. I'm messy. We're all messy. You know, sometimes it's real easy for me to read my Bible and pray in the morning, but it's real hard to love my neighbor. Real hard to love my neighbor. And that's what I love what Jesus is saying here. Hey, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. That's all you have to do to have eternal life. And so where we can be stuck in our friendships is so many times we think, man, I can do it all by myself. And I hate to tell you, you can't. Because you can't be Jesus. Like we talked about, you can't be Jesus. You have to have Jesus in you before you can be him to the world. And that's where we can get stuck in our friendships. We're like the priest, maybe. Maybe we do have Jesus. Maybe we know who he is. Maybe we are the religious few. Maybe we're like the Levite. We serve every week. We serve and we tithe and we give and we're charitable and we do everything we can and we know who Jesus is, but we don't see the naked, half-dead man on the side of the road when we walk out the door today. We miss out. And that's never what Jesus has called us to be. As the priest, as the Levite, as a priest, as a pastor, he's not called me to be that. I can't walk on the other side of the road when somebody's hurting. I have to go to it. Like, it's not that I do have a choice. It's a choice to whether I choose to go on the other side of the road and make an effort to go there. But I always know that if there's somebody hurting in my path that Jesus wants me to help, I will always go to it. I have to make the effort to choose to go over here. And I will tell you, in my friendships and our relationships, how many times do we do that? I'm going to block that person. I do that with those spam callers, right? Like, I'm going to block, don't call me again, you robocall. How many times do we do that with people in our life? Wall is up, done with you. Doesn't mean that we don't have to do that with some people. Yes. That's the last week of our series. It's called unfriending. But we got to understand the foundation of friendship first. We got to understand the foundation of what Jesus has called us to be friends. And so, as we're going in this story and we're wrapping up, and I promise you, we're going to get to an end sometime before 2:30. As we're getting there, it made me think all the way through of where we are. You see, I'm like the lawyer now that I know Jesus. Like when he says, hey, give money to that person. Well, Jesus, you know, I got two bank accounts. I got a savings and a checking account. So once, if you know, you know. But once I move the money over, it's really hard for me to give to this person because I got to move the money over and I got to do it. If they're standing on that corner next week, I got you, Jesus. We're going to do that. Or maybe that car is pulled over on the side of the road with the flashers on. Jesus, it is raining outside. God, let a tow truck come and help them. I got to go get lunch. Right? How many times do we do it? I do it. I'm not coming down on you. I'm telling you. How many times? It's raining outside. You see the family and the kids are stuck there. The car's broke down and it's raining. And you're just like, man, I'm already late for work. Man, I hope somebody helps them soon. I hope somebody helps them soon. I do it. We all do it, right? Just roll on our way. But Jesus, if he's calling you to help that person, go help that person. We'll justify everything we need to in the world to do that, right? We're like the lawyer. We know what it means to be saved. We know what it means to be forgiven. Because the real point of this story is not anything that you don't know. The thing is, we're all literally that half-naked man beaten to death on this road. We need something to save us. And what Jesus is trying to tell the lawyer is, hey, guess what, man? You may be the Levite, and you may be the priest, and you may know who I am, but you're still going to have somebody in your life that needs to take pity and have mercy on you for you to truly be saved. Somebody to bandage up your wounds. Somebody to save you from death. Somebody to come along. And it's not going to be what you think it is. And the funny thing is, God in flesh is sitting there right in front of him. And he's saying, it's not who you think he is. All these Jewish men think this Messiah that's coming is going to come in with a sword and going to be going crazy and having these wars and free them from Roman oppression, not the oppression of sin and death. And he's sitting there and he's saying, hey man, who are you? Because I am the Good Samaritan. See, here's the thing. We need someone. We can't be the Samaritan until we've had the Samaritan rescue us. We can't be that to anyone until somebody has come along and set us free, bandaged our wounds, made us whole, made us clean, because all of us are on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. We're on that road. That big road that everybody knows, that could be the road to destruction, that could be the road that's scary, that's wrought with robbers and wrought with all kinds of setbacks and wrought with breakdowns and wrought with, I doubt this guy like even thought when he woke up that morning, hey, I'm going to get robbed today, so I'll wear my best clothes, and I'll let them strip me of that. Probably didn't. All of us are going to walk through that. But we need something to come along. And that's all Jesus is telling this man. Is, hey, you're the dead man on the road, and you need something to save you. And I'm that thing, and you're looking at it, and you know the answer to it, but you're unwilling to live it. So go live it. You'll have eternal life. But first, you have to receive me as who I say I am. And so my question is, as we come all the way barreling down to the end of this, is, have you trusted the Good Samaritan? Have you trusted Jesus to be your Savior? because he'll not only bandage your wounds, he'll not only make it right. You know, what's crazy is the number three in this story, because sometimes we look at this and everybody says he took 2 denarii out of his pocket. Well, a denarii was a day's wages. So everybody forgets. It says he bandaged him and put him in the inn. So he was with him. He took care of him all night, one day. When he left 2 days worth of wages and said, guess what? The debt's paid in full. And if he owes any more, when I get back, I will pay it in full. Jesus did the same for you on the cross. He said, hey, your sins, you can't overcome. Your sins, this road to destruction, this death in your life, you can't beat it. You need something to rescue you. There's got to be something. You can't pay it. You don't have the resources. You can't climb up the ladder. You can't be the Levite. You can't be of a certain tribe. You can't give till you're blue in the face. You can't go and have the best post in the world. You can't do it. You have to have something rescue you. And that rescue can only come from Jesus, because here's the thing. You can't even pay the debt. Not once do I see this man who was beaten to death paying the debt. The Samaritan did. The one who loved him. The one who was his friend. The one who took time to pick him up when he deserved death. And that's all Jesus is, ladies and gentlemen. We know this. The world doesn't. And the thing is, if we don't have a relationship with him, then today's your day. Today's the day to understand he came in this world to pay your debt. Today's the day to understand you are that man on the side of the road. You are that woman on the side of the road. You are the one on the path to death and destruction. And you need something to save you. Because all this life and all this sin will do is rob you. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you empty. You can fill the void with whatever you want to. If it's not Jesus, you'll always want more. You can fill it with money. You can fill it with clothes. You can fill it with cars. You can fill it with jobs. You can fill it with kids. You can fill it with family. You can fill it with anything. It'll never bring you satisfaction and joy. The whole point to bring the eternal life and heaven to earth is so that you can have peace now. And you'll never have peace if you don't have Jesus. And so today, as we're getting ready to close, that's what I want to open the invitation up to say is this. Have you ever received Jesus? Have you ever received Jesus? Like, this is the time you expect me to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We're not. But really, if the foundation of your friendship doesn't start with Jesus, you can't possibly do these three things. Not to the full extent. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I would like to open the door for you to do that today. Because here's the thing. All of us have the same thing in common. Either we were that man on the side of the road, we are that man on the side of the road. Either we have responded to that call for rescue, or we haven't. And so today, if that's you, and you need to respond to that call, I just want to open the opportunity to do that. Because it's real simple. It says this in the Bible, and it reminds us, because we are that man on the road, all of us are born into sin. Each and every one born into sin. Because of that sin, we deserve death. And we need something to rescue us. And God loved us enough that he rescued us from our death by sending his son. Not because we could do it, but because only he could. And all we have to do is have faith that he is who he says he is. It's not the words of the prayer that we're about to pray. It's not having a 7-step, 12-step, 9-step, 15-step program. It's not saying, okay, I got to read my Bible and do my prayers and I'll go get my neighbors and I'm going to send out mailers today because Tyler said I need to be a friend with people. No. What is Jesus telling you right now? Examine your life. Have you made that decision? And if you haven't, I'm going to open the door for you to do that. And I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes and we're going to say this prayer. And we're going to pray it out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to receive Jesus for the first time today. And I just want you to look back on your life before we pray and say, man, have I ever been rescued? Have I trusted that something bigger than me has come along to pay the debt of my sin that I could never pay? Do I see that I can't do it? That there's something else. There's got to be something else. Maybe you're sitting at home today watching online and you're saying, man, nothing's going right. There's got to be something else that's better than this. There's got to be something else that's bigger than this. I keep trying to fill my life with more. I keep going on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and from Jericho to Jerusalem and back and forth. And I just find myself on the path to destruction. And I feel like I've been robbed not once, but many, many times in my life. And I feel like I've been left for dead many times. And I'm telling you, I'm done with that. I can't do it anymore because there's something greater that must come along. And that something greater is Jesus. Will you put your faith in Him? Will you trust Him? I can't promise you it's going to be better tomorrow, but I can promise you you won't do it alone. And I can promise you instead of just having to write down five friends, you'll have a family of people that's walking step by step with you from here to eternity. And all it takes is you believing Him. So as we pray, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from You, deserving death. I believe You died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, lived a life that I couldn't live, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have eternal life. Come take over my life. Rescue me, Jesus. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life. And as we're in this moment, if that's you, I'm going to count to three. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus and this is the first time that you can say, today is my day, I can finally say I've been rescued. I'm no longer left for dead. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe if you're online, I'm just going to ask you to leave a comment. Wherever you are right now, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, and it's the first time that you can say you've done that. Thank you. Now for everyone else, we're going to pray here in a second, but I'm just going to ask you to ask Jesus in this time as we have worship, what kind of friend am I, Lord? Am I loving the least of these? Those five friends that I wrote down, Jesus, do they need to see You today? Do they need to see You differently? Jesus, I'm tired of walking across the street not to help the hurting. Let me be You to the hurting today. So as we pray this, I'm just going to ask your heart to be open. Maybe you need to talk to someone about that during this time. Don't be afraid to move. You're with family. And here's the beautiful thing about family. None of us have it together in the family. But man, we'll walk with you through anything. So dear Jesus, this time I lift each and every one of us up. I'm begging You as we open our hearts to worship that You would just reveal what You would have us do. That You would just open our minds and hearts to be bold, to be the friend You've called us to be. Sometimes it's really easy to say we love You, Lord. We read our Bible and we pray, and we have people on a board we pray for, but Jesus, You've called us to do more. You've called us to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's where true friendship always starts, because You loved us when we were lost. You loved us when we didn't have it together. You loved us when we looked nothing like You. So let us be You to the world today. We love You, Jesus.